This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, April 18, 2014. Good Friday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
It is finished. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is probably the most unique liturgy of the year. It's got many names, primarily the liturgy of the Passion, the liturgy of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other day on the Christian year when it is so solemn in this place. The liturgy today is basically broken up into four parts. You have the readings from Scripture, which are significantly longer than normal. We'll have, after this brief meditation, prayers of intercession for the Church and for the whole world. And there's the veneration of the Holy Cross, when all can come up and venerate the cross. Then there's the communion of that which was sanctified last night, hence the name, the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified. There is no Eucharistic canon spoken today. The sacrament is not confected. It was confected last evening. It's really representative of what the day is. It's representative of the sufferings, not so much that led up to the cross, but at the cross and afterwards, that it is finished. So interesting to think about the one who spoke those words. I mean, again, last night, what was the emphasis on the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Savior that we receive in the Eucharist, but the body of our Lord in all its humanness, the whole temporal aspect of the incarnation, the body of our Lord was delivered up this day for the salvation of all. His body was delivered up. The whole Lenten season, even the pre-Lenten season, everything to a greater and greater extent throughout the season makes us appreciate the humanity of our Savior. It makes us appreciate the sufferings that He endured. And every couple years, two or three, I'll go through a Lenten season where I really emphasize the physical sufferings of our Lord. They are incomprehensible in our day and age. They are truly incomprehensible. I mean, even when I do that on certain years, I really check myself on occasion because, for decorum's sake, and because there are some people out there that can have a detrimental effect on them, I don't get as detailed as you could about the human sufferings of our Savior. I always use this analogy for folks. If you're getting ready to go to the hospital, you know, a significant operation, we're petrified, and we're going somewhere where they go out of their way to make you comfortable. They come in and ask, are you hurting anywhere? Are you hurting? What do? They increase the drip. They don't let you suffer. Can you imagine our Lord in the garden, knowing what was going to happen to Him full well, having seen it time and time, because He wasn't the first person to have been crucified. They crucified people all the time. They did three on this night, and it wasn't a big crucifixion time. They would do hundreds in a day. So Jesus had seen with His own eyes what was going to happen to Him. And He knew, because He's God, He knew He was to endure not only in His separation from the Father, but again, just in a human standpoint, that He was going to go through a period of a day where not only did they not care whether He was uncomfortable, they went out of their way to make Him suffer. Just the physical sufferings, but the humiliation. If I said right now, I'm going to come out there, I'm going to spit in somebody's face. If I walked out of that place right here, there would probably be people that would leave real quick. And there are other people, as I would walk toward them, will you put your face in your lap? No, I'm not having it. He knew that was coming. He knew that was coming, and He freely endured it. So on this particular Lent, this particular Good Friday, I'd like you to pay attention not so much to the humanity that we've been hearing about suffering right now and throughout Lenten season, but think about the deity. He was the God-man. He was not half God and half man, man sometimes, God the others. He was fully God and fully man. And when we understand the dignity of the one who suffered, that he suffered for you, that it is truly incomprehensible. The dignity of the sufferer. John 1, that last gospel that we hear at almost every Mass. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was God. The book of Hebrews says, speaking of Christ, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The God-man suffers, and we can't comprehend what he did for us. We cannot comprehend it. We will probably not even comprehend it on the other side of the veil. We're definitely not going to comprehend it right now. But suffice it to say that the God-man suffered. You know, if I say we can't comprehend it, we have the capability of being awed by the whole thing in its most pure sense into understanding what he did for us. Because I made mention of it in a meditation a few days ago, that when our Lord goes into the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and they tell him, hey, make your disciples shut up. Listen to what they're saying about you. And he says, if I told them to be quiet, the rocks and stones themselves would sing. And I pointed out that inanimate objects. On Good Friday, when our Savior gave up the ghost, we know through the Holy Spirit in Scripture that the created portions of this world, not human beings, convulsed. When the God-man breathed his last, the earth convulsed. We know that the earth shook, that rocks split, that darkness covered the earth at this hour. It got dark. Even creation knew who it was that hung on the cross. Creation, rocks, the earth, the light. It knew, they all knew, who it was that hung on the cross. The Pharisees did not. The Pharisees probably did. They just didn't care. They were belligerent to him because of who he was. He was God, and they were jealous. By his act, you know, everybody knows about the deliverance from sin. The deliverance from sin, again, this should where we should start at least contemplating the sacrifice that God himself made for each and every one of us. Because the Scriptures tell us, and you who were dead in trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Everything that you have ever done, are doing presently, or will ever do that is an offense to God, is nailed to the cross. It is nailed to the cross, and because it was God who hung on that cross, one drop of that blood is enough to expiate or do away with every sin that has ever been, is being, or ever will be committed on the face of this planet by all the people who have ever walked it. One drop was sufficient. Less than one drop, because it was God Almighty who hung on that cross. We should have confidence in this to enter, as it says in the book of Hebrews, the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. You know, some people look at us on the outside, that, you know, you talk about eating the body of Christ. If you really thought it was God, you wouldn't even do it. We do that not because we think we are bold to do that. We do that because we have confidence to enter that sanctuary because of the shed blood of the God-man. I said before, we can never, never comprehend it fully. But I beg with all my being that you contemplate it frequently. You should contemplate it not just on Good Friday, but every single time you come to Mass. Every Friday of the year, you're supposed to fast and abstain on Friday still to this day, because every Friday of every week is a little Lent. It's a little Good Friday. Every Mass is a representation of the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, I beg you with all my being, because would to God that these mysteries were always present in our minds. Always present in our minds, because of what He has done for us. When we understand, again, in just some shadowy form, who it was that hung on that cross, who it was that breathed His last, we would never hesitate to contemplate it, no matter what was going on in your life. So, again, I don't get it. Neither do I. Nor shall any of us. We'll never get it. We'll never comprehend it. But again, would to God that these mysteries are always present in your mind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.